All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
Hello and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry and I am the host of today's program, and it's all going to be about music. So I'm really excited to have our guest on. He's written a new book called Who'll Stop the Rain. It's Doug Bradley, and Doug and his partner wrote a book a couple of years ago called We Gotta Get Out of This Place. So I'm guessing you'll understand where the music is coming from. So stay tuned. Make sure you got your headphones on and are all set and ready to go. A little background on me and Veterans Radio. This is our 16th year of talking to you and telling the story of America's veterans. I was a CW2 Chief Warrant Officer, helicopter pilot in Vietnam in 1969 with the 195th Assault Helicopter Company, Sky Chiefs. I was thinking about that a little bit earlier today as I drove past the Chrysler Center here in Ann Arbor. They're having graduation. And I was thinking, I graduated from the University of Michigan in 1973, in December of 1973, and sort of brought back fond memories of getting out of the service in 1970 and graduating from a pretty good college in 1973. So it was a good story for me anyway at that time. I want to make sure that we thank all of our sponsors here on Veterans Radio. We really can't do our program without you. Starting off with Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veterans disability claims. For more information, you can go to their website. That's Veterans Radio, or I'm sorry, legalhelpforveterans.com. Or you can give them a call for a free consultation. All you got to do is you can go right on their website. The number is 844-224-2237. It's 844-224-2237. That's legalhelpforveterans.com. The other is U.S. Wings, and U.S. Wings are the manufacturers of the finest leather flight jackets in the world. U.S. Wings is a major supplier of leather flight jackets to the military, including the new Army A2 jackets. Now, these new jackets are going to be issued to all the members of the Army. It's a kind of a throwback to a World War II jacket. It's a great-looking jacket, and starting in February, we are going to be giving them away every quarter. So go to our website, this is veteransradio.net, and click on the jacket and sign up for that so you get an opportunity to win that jacket. It's a beautiful jacket, and I told Sergeant Hack, who is the owner of U.S. Wings, that I was going to try and re-enlist so I could get one, but the Army said I was finally too old, which is kind of sad, I thought. But U.S. Wings, yeah, they have great information and great products for anybody who's interested in military products out there. Their number is 800-650-0659. It's 800-650-0659. And, of course, we could not be on the air without the help of our local veteran service organizations, and that includes American Legion Post 46, the VFW Post 423, and the Charles S. Kettles VVA Post 310, all of Ann Arbor, Michigan, and also you. You are listeners who have been helping out lately. We've started a little fundraiser going on, and we're doing really well, and I want to thank a couple of people out there who have helped. I won't give any names or amounts or anything like that, but we've got two Bobs from Florida who have sent us a contribution through our Good Buddies program. This is our buddy money support for our mission. Just again, go to our website and you'll see the logo right there. Just click on that, and whatever you can spare would be great. We've had, as I mentioned, two Bobs from Florida. We had a Vance and a Rick from Michigan. We had a Bill from Arizona, and we actually had another Bob. I didn't realize there were that many Bobs out there. Let them Bob Gould. But anyway, I had another Bob from California that made a donation too. So we really do appreciate that. As I mentioned, today's program is going to be Who'll Stop the Rain? And this is a book by Doug Bradley, and it's called Respect, Remembrance, and Reconciliation in Post-Vietnam America. So we encourage you to listen. We're going to be playing little bits of a lot of songs today. So if you have any suggestions, feel free to give us a call. That number here is 734 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with our guest on today's program, Doug Bradley. So you're listening to Veterans Radio.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
We're back on Veterans Radio, and we want to welcome our guest this week, and it is Doug Bradley. And Doug is a Vietnam veteran. He was stationed in Long Binh, South Vietnam, in 1970 to 71. I was in Long Binh. I wonder how close you were. I was there in 69. Anyway, Doug relocated, it says here, to Madison, Wisconsin, and where he helped establish a vet house, a storefront community-based service center for Vietnam-era veterans. He's the author of Deros, Vietnam Dispatches from the Air-Conditioned Jungle, and co-authored with Craig Warner with We Gotta Get Out of This Place, which we had on Veterans Radio back in, I think it was 2017. Anyway, Doug, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Dale, it's great to be back with you, and hey, congrats on that college degree. Good work.
Yeah, it took me a while. It only took me 9 years or so.
Hey, you know, who's counting? That's okay, you got it.
A little break in the middle. It's kind of interesting. I got an email from a guy I went to high school with recently, and they were talking about the draft, the Army draft. And I know you got caught up in that, didn't you?
Absolutely. And you know, it's one of those things. And I think it's what we're going to get to more about why the music is so important and powerful, and in ways it's a connective tissue for us, is that, you know, and we're the 27 million of us that were of draft age at that time growing up. We had to make a decision about Vietnam all the time, every day. Mm-hmm. You know, what we were going to do about our class, what we were going to do with our deferment, what we were going to do after that we lost that, what we were going to do when we got the call, or what we were going to do before we got the call. And it's just, you know, that's such a different world now because, frankly, you know, as you know, and you probably know from your show, you know, 2% of the population fighting the current wars, and, you know, it's not a shared sacrifice, and it was a different time, and the draft had a lot to do with that.
I think so. As I was mentioning it, my friend, he was number three on a draft. He had already gone through ROTC, and he was already in the service. And I was in Vietnam when they announced the numbers, I think in December of 1969.
Yep.
And of course, we had to have a celebration for that because I was number 113. And they would have got me anyway. And of course, you know, the rumor, the story over there always was, what are they going to do? Draft me and send me to Vietnam. Well,
exactly.
I'm already here. So, but let's talk a little bit about how you came up with this idea of Who'll Stop the Rain. You did a whole program or a whole book and, called We Gotta Get Out of This Place, which of course is an anthem for probably pretty much for any war since then as well.
Yeah.
But what made you decide to go back and look at the Creedence Clearwater with Who'll Stop the Rain?
You know, and it's just, as you know, and you said at the beginning of the show, there's, like there was in the first book, there's just so much music around the stories that veterans told us, Craig and I, when we did the 8 or 10 years of interviews. And then when we went out on the road and we were out there for about 26 months, we were making presentations in VFW halls, in churches, college campuses, bookstores, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, everywhere that we could go to spread the word. And almost universally, Dale, at every one of these venues, a vet or two would get up and share something publicly they'd never shared before. And we know all the sad story of that, about how we didn't invite the men and women who came home to share their stories and tell their stories. And music seemed to be a way that it was, I don't know if it was safer or you know, more respectful in the environment they were in, but, you know, it just, it happened over and over and over again. So when we started talking to the folks that published, we got to get out of this place, University of Massachusetts Press, we said, you know, there's something really interesting going on here because, you know, people are listening, they're sharing. Nobody, it's not the old thing of, you know, I'm wrong, you're right, it's black, it's white, as we had with a lot of Vietnam conversations. It was like, you know, I need to know more. Let me listen. I'm sorry. Welcome home. And I honestly think the music had a lot to do with that. So I said to them, I said, you know, maybe a little bit of a follow-up book with some different wrinkles in it, but, you know, with music sort of at the center, at least for these new conversations. And they said yes, and then they rejected the books. But my but my friends at Warriors Publishing, and I don't know if you know Dale Dye and Julia Dye and some of the great stuff they're doing, you know, and they had published the first, and they said, hey, come on, we'll take a look. And then they said, let's go. So here we are.
Well, it's a great read for all of you out there who are listening today. It's called Who'll Stop the Rain by Doug Bradley, and it's got this really cool kind of psychedelic truck on there. And I guess you should probably tell me a little bit about who designed your cover.
Yeah, this is a really, really interesting guy. It's a guy named Jim Wonkendonk. He was in our first book, too. He's from right in this area. He lives out in Richland Center, which is a place about 40, 50 miles from Madison. Grew up in Wisconsin, dog handler in Vietnam. Got sprayed with Agent Orange big time. Had very, really, really difficult effects of that. Both his children were born with encephalitis, Agent Orange related. They were one of the families that fought for years in the suit against Dow and the government. And so Jim used music as his way to get back home. We talked the last time we were on your show, and we played all the soundtrack we played was by veterans. We played one of Jim's songs, and like Martin and Halliday and all the others. And he used music to sort of help him to get back, also to make a living. And he was out on the hustings doing this, you know, for years. And then his situation got worse that he basically wasn't able to play the guitar anymore. He could barely hold a paintbrush. And his wife said to him one day, you know, you like to paint. If you can't play the guitar, and his group was called, his label was called Booney Tunes, which is part of that cover that you see on the hood of the car. He said he started to paint, and you know it's been another way sort of home for him. And he and I were talking. And I said, you know, I love some of the stuff you've done. I said, why don't you give me something for the cover of the book? And he thought about music. He thought about art. He thought about he was in VVAW when he got out. So he said. He says, I've got a picture I think will work, and the publishers loved it. So it makes for an interesting story as well as, like you said, a kind of a attractive cover.
It's a very attractive cover. And what it is a pickup truck, folks. If you don't have it yet, you can go find it on Amazon. But if you wanted to look at it, don't go away from the program, though.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. But what was so cool on it is that I had on the side of it written is Guitars for Vets. And
right.
I had just heard about this organization from a local Vietnam veteran who was a guitar player. And he says, oh, you need to talk to this guy. And
oh, yeah.
So I'm trying to set up an appearance for the local Guitar for Veterans program. And what that does is it provides guitars, obviously, and lessons and everything else for veterans who want to learn how to play the guitar.
Yep, and you get the guitar when you're done. You know,
that's even better.
Because like we said, it's not the way home for every vet from, you know, from our war and the current, but for some people, music is therapeutic and healing. So, heck, you know, you get, like you said, and it was a bunch of guys that were in Milwaukee that started this, and I've been on a couple programs with them. Absolutely wonderful, wonderful guys. One a musician, the other a vet, and they decided to do this and have gotten donations. And like you said, you get the lessons, and when the lessons are done, you keep the guitar.
That's even better than going to college and getting a little certificate.
Oh, I don't know. Come on. 9 years.
But one of the things that I was really interested in as I was reading your book is that every chapter had another organization that's helping veterans, another organization, and another organization. I mean, evidently in your travels promoting the first book, that you must have run into pretty much every one of the 2 million veterans that were in Vietnam.
Well, you know, and I think that's part of the story we don't hear enough about, and that was another reason to try and write the book. It's like, you know, we know there's still struggles. There's going to be struggles, and we know there's still debate, and there's always going to be debate. That's the nature of that situation and what happened in our experience. But what we don't know enough about is, you know, the good things that have come out of what people have been, and the contributions they've made. You know, like you said, work on homelessness, work on PTSD, the Guitars for Vets program, the writing programs, you know, veterans courts. I mean, so these were stories that I wanted. That's why I called that chapter, which was based on our old Martin Halliday song, Time to Lay It Down. Mm-hmm. Some people did lay it down, but, I mean, they laid down maybe the guilt and the anger, but what they didn't lay down was there's stuff to be done, and they went and did it. And there's really, and it's helped this current generation of vets, I think, in many, many ways.
I think so. I know that there's an awful lot of Vietnam veterans that are out there as mentors for this generation of veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful to see and wonderful to participate in. We just started a recent open mic night for veterans here locally called There I Was.
And fantastic. So, I mean, and this whole thing of sharing, telling your story, and getting people to listen and understand, we don't do enough of it, and that's great.
But anyway, yeah, and it's because of people like you that motivate us to start thinking of what other ways can we come up with that we can help these men and women transition back into the real world.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yep, and like we said, there's a lot of work we need to do, and as we know, one of the sad statistics is that they're not making it, and they feel alone, and you know, I mean, the fact that the suicide rates are what they are for veterans of all, it's something we've got to stop.
It is certainly unacceptable. You mentioned in the book the idea of call and response, and I wanted to get to this.
And
I'm going to play a little tune here, first of all.
Sure.
And I've got our little playlist that you suggested, and this is a little piece of the song called Can I Get a Witness by Marvin Gaye. And so that's cut number 2, Derek. So let's play that for just a moment, and then we'll come back and continue the conversation.
Super.
That's Marvin Gaye with Can I Get a Witness? We're talking with Doug Bradley here about his new book out that's entitled Who'll Stop the Rain? And in the book, Doug talks about the idea of call and response, and that's why we wanted to play that little song. Tell me about that in the book.
Well, you know, there's just a couple. There's so much that's interesting and fascinating just about that and about Marvin Gaye, as you know from the other conversations we've had. His brother Frankie was in Vietnam, etc. But with that, this whole notion, and it's based in African American music, but also in just in African American experience. That the and it, you know, it infuses blues and gospel and soul and so much good music. And that is, you send a call. Can I get a witness? You know, let me hear you say yeah. And, you know, if it's either the preacher from the pulpit or it's the guy at the rally or it's the singer up on stage, it's a way to engage the audience. And you send the call. You expect a response. Sometimes the response is affirmative. Sometimes it's repetitive. Sometimes you take the call, make it your own, and send it out another way. So Craig, who I wrote the last book with, has been doing this for, you know, the 36 years he taught here at the university. He bases his whole pedagogy on call and response. You know, the kids read a text, or they see a film, or they listen to a song. They have to respond to it. Then he takes the response, and he sends those back to the rest of the class. And it's a great way to teach, especially if you've got music. It's also a great way to learn. And so Marvin Gaye and the notion of witnessing and also the call and response that's there is just another one of those connections and sort of teaching activities that happens, what, you know, just by nature. And it's what we were getting, the call we were doing with the, you know, is like, here's a story from a veteran, here's their song, you know, it's what's going on by Marvin Gaye, and boom, we would get a response, and then the whole audience would respond to the response. It sounds kind of crazy and repetitive, but it's the way experience works, and sometimes it's the way that we can really begin to understand and appreciate what somebody else has been through.
Absolutely, and I think the idea that we want to remember that the idea of the music was so important to those of us that were, I think, anybody and throughout your lives, music is always something that can bring you back to good or bad memories, and so forth. And the thing about Vietnam was that the length of the conflict was that I can talk to guys who were there in 64 and 65, and their memory of music is so much different than the people of the 70s, 71s. Yeah. I mean, we go from, Barry. What am I thinking of?
Barry Sadler.
Barry Sadler all the way up to Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know.
Yeah, and Merle Haggard. I mean, you know, it's like, yep,
and
it's all there.
And
and like you said, the experiences are different. There is music there, but boy, as the war went on longer and the Army understood that we were a music generation, and, you know, I know if you're out in the field, silence is what you need. But for guys like me in the rear who are trying to keep, you know, I'm writing stories that keep the morale of the troops in the field up or writing about what they're doing, we got music, you know, I mean, we had transmitters all over the damn country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had clubs, we had, you know, Filipino and Korean, South Korean and Vietnamese bands. They couldn't speak a word English, but they could sure as heck play a great set list. You know, we had Bob Hope, touring acts, James Brown, Johnny Cash. I mean, we got music, and it was a way, I think, to keep us sort of going and connected.
We had a radio in our helicopter, the automatic direction finder, ADF, and what we could do is it would tell us what medium we were on, flying away from a station or a tower or a radio source. And so we would always put it on Armed Forces radio, and we would be, you know, on a 300-degree radius out of Saigon or the 180-degree. Wherever it was, we always knew where we were based on the radio and the music we were listening to.
We had some, you know, warrant officers tell us, you know, in the last book, you know, that they, Sky Pilot was their song.
Oh,
because,
geez.
You know, because there they were. You know, who were they? They were the Sky Pilot.
You know, I don't have that on my list for tonight, but I should play it because I always, you know, we did, you know, get up and scream Sky Pilot. But when you listen to the words, it's about a different song. It's sort of like Ghost Riders of the Sky, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
All those things that were, that were out there. That's pretty funny. One of the things I noticed, Doug, while I was reading the book is that every place that you did one of your presentations, you attempted to bring the music from that area to your presentation.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit about that? I thought that was great.
And that's what's so great. Again, what we talked about, Dale, is, the music is so essential and central, and there was so much of it, and, you know, like a variety. I mean, we forget back in those days, before all the narrow casting and the way the whole music industry has changed, we all listened to the same music,
mm-hmm.
and it was the best of soul, it was the best of, you know, rock and the British invasion, it was the best of country, and they all spoke to each other. If you look back at some of those sessions, you know, there were great country musicians playing in some of the R&B sessions, and there were great R&B artists or rock artists playing on country music. And there were artists from all over the place. And so the great thing is somebody's got roots somewhere. And the combination of an artist, and a song, as well as all the variety of vets that we were able to interview over the course of the 8 or 10 years of research, would always find that, you know, there's some place where there's somebody from that area, either in the book or referenced in the book, or, you know, is connected to, or there's an artist or a group that is from that area. I mean, you know, in Michigan, we go on forever. I mean, you don't just stop at Motown. You just keep going because mm-hmm. there's so many good musicians from Michigan. And that adds a nice little flavor to it. That way we don't get bored, you know, with what we're talking about because, like I said, there's so many good artists and so many good songs. It just sort of keeps the conversation fresh and going.
Oh, it certainly does. And I'm gonna play another quick little song here from the Staple Singers. And this one's called I'll Take You There. So we'll talk about that when we get back. We're going to be taking a break in a little bit, too. So for right now, we're going to be listening to I'll Take You There by the Staple Singers.
I know a place.
I'll Take You There by the Staple Singers. So we're talking with Doug Bradley here of a new book entitled Who'll Stop the Rain. So I want to try and get in as many songs as I can here, Doug. So tell me about that one.
Well, again, it was getting back to that point you raised before. We've got, you know, Marvin Gaye with his version of that, which of course was an old gospel song, you know, Can I Get a Witness? Different lyrics, not about chasing a girl. And similarly with this, you know, the song came out after Vietnam, but the night we went into the Stax Museum of American Soul Music, which is one of the first presentations we made, that song was just sort of almost vibrating off the walls because there's a place, I know a place, it's that place. Mm-hmm. And then that calm response, I know a place, I'll take you there. You know, ain't nobody crying, I'll take you there. It's so it was just another one of those that infused in us and reminded us of the call and response dynamic, but also just how dynamic and exciting the music was. There's so much good music to be found, whether you're taking an old gospel song and making it into something new, or, you know, it's just the next thing, it's Sky Pilot that's coming off of the AFEN radio up in your helicopter.
That's true. We're going to take a real quick break, Doug, so I'm going to ask you to hold on. And,
absolutely.
We'll come back. We got more music on the other side. But right now, I'm going to give you a little live read, as they say here on radio, and that is I want you to help support Veterans Radio. We've got two things going on right now. Number one is our good buddy contributions that we're looking for people to support Veterans Radio. As I mentioned before, we've been doing this for 16 years, and we do have some expenses. We have a beautiful studio that we're working out of, and we're getting more and more. We have blogs out there. We have streaming now and a whole bunch of other things that add up to money, unfortunately. So we're asking for a good buddy to make donations to support Veterans Radio. And one of the ways that you can do that, if you don't want to just donate money, is you can go to our Veterans Radio Exchange. Now, I was listening to an ad earlier on today that you can go buy stuff at the Fox Network store. Well, right now you can go to the Veterans Radio's Exchange and you can pick up some swag, as they call it, where you can buy hats, T-shirts, sweatshirts, all kinds of different paraphernalia, the old coffee cups and so forth and so on. And we get a percentage of that. So please go to our website, veteransradio.net, scroll all the way down to the bottom and you'll find both of those icons there that you can click on, and you can either make a donation to help out Veterans Radio for the expenses, or you can actually buy yourself some really nice clothing and apparel for Veterans Radio. So, Take a chance, take a look. I think you're going to enjoy the things that you'll see there. We're going to be coming right back right now to today's program with another piece of music.
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine, people tell me there ain't no use in trying. Now, my girl, you're so young and pretty, and one thing I know is true, you'll be dead before your time is due. I know.
Back on Veterans Radio, and we're looking for a better life for all, me and you, and our guest is Doug Bradley, and Doug's newest book is Who'll Stop the Rain. That music was dedicated to the last book, Doug.
Well, that's a great dedication, and, you know, we talked about the Annals before with Sky Pilot. I mean, how about that song? We used to change that last line when we sang it in Vietnam to There's a Better Life in the USA. And, yeah,
true.
I mean, it was just different because, as you know, in that war, unless you extended, Marines had 13-month tours. We had 12. So, I mean, it gave the song some additional relevance because you knew your DERO state, and God willing, you'd be around that long. So you'd know when you were going to get out of that place. And, you know, it was just we fought that war differently. I mean, our replacement process was different. And I think it just added to the power of that song because you heard it and it made a difference. There's a better life back home.
I can't even recall even hearing the lyrics because people were yelling them so loud.
Exactly. Wherever
you were listening to it, whether it was the Filipino band or if it was in a club or it was on the radio or, you know, some guys would sit with a reel-to-reel tape recorders. That's old technology, folks.
I still have all my Vietnam equipment that I got from the Pacex catalog in Japan, except my reel-to-reel tape deck, my Sony tape deck. I should have gotten a TAC because my friend who has a TAC, it still works. My Sony broke, but I still have the speakers. I still have the amps. You know, I still have the turntable.
Wow.
So talk about good equipment, huh?
That's right. Yeah, 50 years later, still working.
Yeah.
And it's becoming more popular now as vinyl's coming back.
Exactly, exactly.
So anyway, I wanted to get into some of the issues that you do address in the book. And it's especially, I wanted to read one of the blurbs here that I'm looking at is, where did this one go? Neil Heinen is actually the editorial director at your local TV station in Madison,
yeah,
Wisconsin. He says that going deeper into the memories and music of the Vietnam War, Doug Bradley's new book, Who'll Stop the Rain, Respect, Remembrance, and Reconciliation, is about affirmation and witnessing an amen to the experience of being a veteran of a war that changed the country forever. And it certainly did, because nothing's been the same since then.
No, I couldn't agree more. And again, that's, you know, we just sort of can't say that and not act on it or do something about it. Why? And is there still something to be done? Is there still some reconciliation or healing that needs to happen? And again, like I said, I know I sound like a broken record, pun intended.
Right.
But, you know, somehow with music at the center of a conversation and centering people, grounding them, making them, it seemed more respectful, at least more tolerant about listening, makes a big difference. And I think there's still some work to be done. We talk about it in the book. You know, the survivor guilt, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
I have it, for crying out loud. Here I am, I got a pen, guys I know, a guy I went to college with, who I've just, you know, reunited with recently, he's got a gun. You know, how does that happen? Just, mm-hmm, you know, I got lucky, and you know how that went.
Sure.
And so, you know, and PTSD and Agent Orange, but then all the good stuff too, like you mentioned before. You know, see an issue, let's address it, let's see what we can do. Veterans Court's a great example. As we said, there are other ones too. But yeah, I think we've never been the same, and I think it's time not just to say that, but is there still some things we can do around that can make things a little more positive for people?
I think one of the things that I was thinking about with the music, part of it is that no matter what our political views are, if we start listening to these songs, we're all back in the same place, and we don't have those same differences that seem to be going on in the country, you know, have been going on for so many years. And it just kind of gives us a commonality that we can talk about our experiences, and then maybe if we can talk about our experiences, maybe we can kind of do a little poke on what we think we can do to help out. And as soon as you get these veterans to start talking about how they can help each other, maybe it can expand from there.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, and you're absolutely right. I don't know if it's just the nature of the time, that we had so much access to music, that we grew up with so much music and having it. You know, no other war is going to be the same. I mean, the soldiers today, they don't share a soundtrack. They have their own. They put their headphones on, and they've got what they want. If they want to get jacked up and go into on a mission, or if they want to chill out when they're back, but nobody else is listening to it except them. We all listen to the same stuff, you know, like whether you stayed or you served. And I do think you're right. That gives us sort of a sharing and a commonality that helps us to maybe get over the stuff. Well, why didn't you go? Or what did you do when you were there? Why didn't you do that? Or what did this guy do? You know, it breaks down some of those walls.
It does. I mean, you mentioned the survivor's guilt, and everybody has a little bit of survivor's guilt,
mm-hmm,
because, you know, you either look to the left and the bullet went to the right, or,
yep,
you know, the luck of the draw, you get into in country in the 90th replacement, and they say, okay, you're going to go over here. Oh, by,
exactly.
Oh, you're going up on the DMZ. And you go, oh,
no.
Who, what, why?
Yes.
Just the randomness of the whole thing. Or you get, even as a pilot, you could fly, you know, you could be a general's pilot, or you could be a Cobra, you know, gun pilot.
Yep.
I mean, you have so many extremes of the different jobs that everybody had over there. And, it, you know, if it hadn't been for people in the rear, we would have never gotten up in the air. The radio station would have never, you know, we wouldn't have listened,
yep,
to all that music and so forth. And I forget what the number is of the support versus the people that were in
combat.
You know,
it's funny. That's one of those numbers. And I only look at any more people that really do the research and look at the truth. And by the end of the war, when I was there, by the time I'm leaving in 71, I mean, what people forget is, like, in early 70, we still had over, we were just getting beneath 400,000. Vietnamization was just kicking in, and guys were leaving. You know, we went from the peak of 550,000 in 68, but there were still about 400,000 guys there in 70. Mm-hmm. And I get there, and they, but, you know, there, because we turned the ground war over to the ARVN, the South Vietnamese Army, and escalated the air war. But, you know, we had those pilots anyway, a lot of them, you know, off there, you know, in Thailand and other places. The number of support troops increased because, you know, we were reducing combat troops. So, people said it was about as many as 1 to 7 to 1 to 8. It was, you know, it was different in the earlier years, but that's a heck of a lot of guys. And like you said, you need somebody to write your story, to cook your meal, to make your uniform, to give you your orders, you know, to fly here and there, to drive the truck, it's, you know, to bake the bread. So it took a heck of a lot of us, and some of us, like you said, like me, got lucky and got a job in the rear as opposed to being in the field.
Yeah, but even being in the rear over there was not the safest place to be.
Tell me about it. Exactly. Especially that kind of war.
Yes. You know, I mean, I can remember that Long Bin ammo dump blowing up twice in the year I was there. So,
yep.
I mean, that you felt pretty safe there. But
yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, we had the so-called elections there in 71. And, you know, when it turned out that the candidates, Key and Min, weren't going to run against President Tu, the NVA and the Viet Cong reminded us who was really running the election, and they attacked the base a couple times. It's like, whoa, where'd this come from?
Yeah, there were no safety zones really in anywhere. So tell me about, I'm going to play another song here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna save that one for later on. Let's do Waist Deep in the Big Muddy by Pete Seeger.
Sure.
This is, again, it's an example of the different style of music that we were listening to at the time.
Right.
And so this is number 6. All right. So here we got Waist Deep in the Big Muddy by Pete Seeger.
It was back in 1942. I was a member of a good platoon. We were on maneuvers in Louisiana one night by the light of the moon. The captain told us to ford a river, that's how it all begun. We were knee-deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. The sergeant said, sir, are you sure this is the best way back to the base? Sergeant, go on, I forded this river about a mile above this place. It'll be a little soggy, but just keep slogging. We'll soon be on dry ground. We were waist deep in the big muddy. The big fool says to push on. Well, the sergeant said, sir, with all this equipment, no man will be able to swim. Sergeant, don't be a nervous Nelly, the captain said to him. All we need is a little determination, men, follow me, I'll lead on. We were neck deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. All at once, the moon clouded over, we heard a gurgling cry. A few seconds later, the captain's helmet was all that floated by. The sergeant said, turn around, men, I'm in charge from now on. And we just made it out of the big muddy with the captain dead and gone. We stripped and dived and found his body stuck in the old quicksand.
All right, that's Pete Seeger with a song that many people can probably relate to. The time
you know, and it's got so many different layers of richness. The reason I title a chapter in this new book that is just because, you know, some of us have stayed stuck there. I mean, part of some of the country and some of our policies have stayed stuck there. So it's that literal notion, but also, I mean, the story about that itself. Dale, you alluded to it. Sometimes, you know, we had guitar players in the Hooch, you know, and if we didn't have music someplace else, a guy would take out and play a guitar. And they would play, you know, Dylan and Paxson and Phil Oakes and Pete Seeger, what you would think would be protest music, it was music. It was music we knew. It could soothe our souls sometimes, and not necessarily to get us riled up. And, of course, Seeger, World War II veteran turned pacifist, and he did that song, even though he bases it as an experience in basic training in 42. Everybody knew when that song, when he was recording it and making it popular again, it was about Lyndon Johnson. And so that's when he was supposed to be on the Smothers Brothers show to sing that, and CBS canceled the appearance because they didn't want to provoke the president. And the Smothers Brothers came back and said, you know, if you don't, Tom and Dick Smothers, if you don't let him on the show, we're not going to do the show. So he ends up back on the show, which made it more controversial. So everybody that knew it was about Lyndon Johnson.
Well, you know, music is music, and this is what it does.
Yep.
And one of those, the album that you mentioned on our last program, and I don't have it at the tip of my tongue, that had all of that music written by veterans while they're in country in many cases.
Yep. It was called, I'll just do a quick plug, it was called It's Next Stop is Vietnam, The War on Record, 1961 to 2008. And it's got, you know, over 300 tracks on it. Sometimes they're clips of Johnson or Kennedy or Nixon or McNamara, but mainly it's music, all the different music from that entire era, 68 to 2008. And as you said, the last two CDs are by Vietnam vets. One of them is when they were in country, you know, Dick Elias and other people like that. And then the last CD is by Vietnam vets now home, like Jim Wonkendonk is on there and Sarge Lincecum and others. So, it's so rich. It's a great collection.
It is a great collection. We're going to take a real quick break here to pay for our bills. And we'll come back and probably come out of this one with another song that you might recognize.
Great.
All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
That wasn't to scare our grandchildren, to let them know that their grandparents listen to that kind of music. But that was Jimi Hendrix with Purple Haze. And we are talking right now with Doug Bradley, whose book is Who'll Stop the Rain, which is talking about the music, actually, of the Vietnam era. And it's talking about respect, remembrance, and reconciliation in a post-Vietnam America and how we can take what we hopefully learned during that time period and apply it to today's world. So, Doug, what do you think?
Well, I think, there's a lot of work to do. Just the way you said that, there's a lot of application that still needs to be done. But what's so fascinating about that musician and that song and even connections with the new book is I think a lot of people, especially your listeners, know the story about Hendrix and, you know, being in the 101st Airborne, being a terrible soldier, getting kicked out of the Army, but it's where he really learned to start to play the guitar, met some of the guys, Buddy Miles and others that he played with over time. And that song having, and that sound, the Hendrix sound, his guitar, he's got a song called Machine Gun that sounds like Vietnam, as does the Star Spangled Banner at Woodstock. But what's interesting is when, you know, we go back to music to end the book again, just because, you know, again, as you know me, I can't get away from it. And we highlight three musicians, a guy named Billy Bang, Jim Wonkendonk, who we already talked about, who did the cover of the book, and then Kima Williams, who was the guy that played the Hendrix and sort of stood in with the Lieutenant Dan band, Gary Sinise's band, as the sort of Jimi Hendrix person in that band. So things just keep coming back around, from song to musician to experience to today. And, you know, let's and Chemo is doing great work. He's got a veterans art project that he's running out of where he lives now in West Virginia, and they do incredible work on trying to get, if it's paper, if it's pens, if it's ink, if it's a guitar, if it's a theater, to, you know, trying to get music or the arts, whatever it is, to help vets to get back home.
That's what we're trying to do here, folks. Yep. We're trying to get everybody back home. And I've got one more song I want to play.
Sure.
And then we'll end the program with you and you and I talking
too bad.
About it.
Well, that went through too fast.
I know. Well, just to let our audience know that the book will be, go out and get the hardcover. It's really kind of cool to have a hardcover book. But it's going to be coming out in paperback in March, and we're going to have Doug back on when it comes out in paperback and cover more of these songs. Well, this one I wanted
to... Great idea. We should do it in Michigan.
Yes, I think so. Absolutely. We'll figure out a venue when we get that. But this is the one that you mentioned earlier on. It's Michael J. Martin and Tim Holliday, and it's called Time to Lay It Down. And let's give a little intro to the song itself, and I'll let you do that.
Well, it's Owen Merle, who wrote the song. It's about a Vietnam vet who is at the wall in Washington. He took the ring off the finger of a Viet Cong soldier he killed, and he's been carrying it around for 18 years. And what he's been carrying around is not just the ring, it's the whole damn burden of that war.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, the guilt, the anger, the frustration, everything. And he's at the wall, and he says, he leaves the ring at the wall and says, it's time to lay it down.
Well, this song, of course, Michael J. Martin and Tim Holliday are big favorites of the Veterans Radio audience and of my personally. I had the opportunity to talk with Michael J. a number of times before he passed away.
I miss him. I miss him both. Yeah.
Everybody does. But anyway, so listen to this song. Really pay attention to this song.
Well, I took this ring off of Viet Cong in the springtime of my childhood. I saw his eyes when I shot him dead back then, you know it felt good. Now I'm putting the ring in the crack in the wall cause I no longer need it. Hate's a monster that's always hungry and I ain't gonna feed it. I've been carrying this ring for 18 years, it's time to lay it down. Been a long time arriving, but I finally come around. Spent one long year in a field of stone and 18 more on the ground. Been carrying this ring for 18 years, it's time to lay it down. It's too easy to say you wouldn't listen when I had the need to talk. Too easy to say you couldn't help me when all I could do was walk down to the corner bar and drink some beer and pretend I could forget. All you called me was baby killer, got tired of names like that. And I've been carrying this hate for 18 years, it's time to lay it down. Been a long time arriving, but I finally come around. Spent one long year in a field of stone, 18 more on the ground. Been carrying this hate for 18 years, it's time to lay it down. Well, I'll bet you across the water in that field of broken stone, there's probably a fella just like me and he's finally coming home. Well, he's standing in the morning light. Look what he's got there in his palm. It's a ring he took off a dead GI someplace in Vietnam. I've been carrying this hate for 18 years. It's time to lay it down. Been a long time arriving, but I finally come around. Spent one long year in a field of stone, 18 more on the ground. Been carrying this hate for 18 years. It's time to lay it down. Well, this wall that honors my brothers, red, white, black, yellow, brown, we were all just doing our duty, so how can you put us down? Pain and time for pulling together instead of calling names. There ain't no time for hatred, there ain't no time for games. I've been carrying this weight for 18 years, it's time to lay it down. Been a long time arriving, but I finally come around. Spent one long year in a field of stone and 18 more on the ground. Been carrying this weight for 18 years, it's time to lay it down. Been carrying this hate for 18 years, it's time to lay it down. Been carrying this weight for 18 years, it's time to lay it down. Been carrying this ring for 18 years, it's time to lay it down. Lay it down. Lay it down.
Michael J. Martin and Tim Holliday with Time to Lay It Down. We're talking here, and we've been talking with Doug Radley for this whole the hour that went past so quickly. His new book is Hills Who'll Stop the Rain, Respect, Remembrance, and Reconciliation in Post-Vietnam America. Doug, I'll give you a last minute or so to add what you'd like to.
Well, I appreciate your show, what you're doing, Dale. It's always great to connect with you. And just a message like that, a song like that, an entreaty like that. And let's lay it down. You know, we can still have our differences, but we got to, there's still work to be done on mm-hmm. not just our generation of vets, but the current vets, too. You know, I mean, there's a lot more praise and acceptance. We cheer them in airports. We have flyovers. They stand up at the halftime of the football. They still go home alone, many of them, mm-hmm. and they still have these issues. So whatever our differences are, time to lay it down. Let's get back together. Let's work, and music is a way to do that, perhaps, on bringing the country together.
Absolutely. I want to thank you very much, Doug Radley, for being on Veterans Radio today. And as I said, we'll get back in touch with you later on in the spring when the ice finally melts. and we can talk about that, all right?
Dale, happy holidays. Thanks so much.
Same to you. Thanks for being on Veterans Radio. And I want to thank you for listening today. Today's program was about a book called Who'll Stop the Rain by Doug Radley. You can find it on Amazon and elsewhere. Got a couple of things real quick I think I got to get into, right? Yes, he's over there. He says, you can do that. All right, I invite everybody, go to our website, veteransradio.net. Leave your comments on our website if you like today's program or if you'd like to hear more music. What kind of programs would you like to hear? Don't forget to sign up for the U.S. Wings Flight Jacket giveaway, which will be coming up in February again. That's on our website. And we also want to make sure that you get on there and check out our own exchange, the Veterans Radio Exchange, so that you can purchase some paraphernalia that you might like. And of course, we would like you to support Veterans Radio. So go on there and click the icon that says, hey, good buddy. And we're hoping that you'll be able to do that and help us out. So until next week, this is Dale Thronberry, your host here on Veterans Radio. Thanks very much for listening, and you are dismissed.